What's up, you guys? Movie retrospective time once again. And we've been talking about doing this for a while, but we wanted to go back and do some of the classic Universal monster movies.
Yeah.
Because we really hadn't done a lot of those. Like,
and
I know we've done them all. Yeah, I know we've done some, like, we did some from the 40s, like Cat People and stuff like that. But I was like, we really haven't done any of the Universal monster movies. So I started, like, putting some of them in the Patreon poll. Like, I think in the last poll, I put this one, The Mummy, and I also put White Zombie, and this one won. So it does seem like at least the patrons do want us to cover kind of these old classic movies, which is totally fine with me because I really like them all. So, yeah, so for whatever reason, just randomly, because I picked it, it was on Tubi. We're talking about the 1932 movie, The Mummy.
I had never seen it.
I saw it, but a long time ago. I'd seen it a couple of times because, you know, I love Boris Karloff, so I'm going to watch anything that he's in. And I thought this was kind of cool because, I mean, we did a show about Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi, but this was kind of like in, he'd been in Frankenstein, obviously, and he was kind of like a big enough star that when this movie was released, like, the poster just had Karloff the Uncanny on it. Like, it didn't even have his whole name, so he was already, like, getting to be this big star. And I thought what was cool about this one is that he really, I mean, he gets to be, like, a character. He's not just, I mean, he was great as Frankenstein's monster, obviously, but he didn't really have any lines or anything like that. Whereas this one, he actually kind of gets to be a character.
I'm watching the movie, I'm digging it, and I'm going, this is kind of familiar. And I was like, oh, this is Dracula.
Pretty much.
This is a retelling of Dracula.
It is kind of like the same.
But it's good, though, because there's a lot more details. They just kind of changed the motif to Egyptian, ancient Egypt. Dude comes out of the grave looking for his lost love, trying to find his woman, and he's going to turn, you know, bring her back to life. Well, bring his dead girlfriend back to life through a woman who's reincarnated her soul.
It's kind of complicated.
Kind of complicated to see it. And Karloff's has got to go toe to toe with Lugosi's portrayal of fucking Dracula. And that's a fucking tall order. Okay. And how he does it is there's a lot more character. He's on screen a lot more. There's a lot more to his backstory. He's not really evil. He's kind of sympathetic. He's a sorcerer. He's not evil incarnate, you know what I mean? But he has to do some bad shit to get the mission done. He's intelligent. He's suave, like Dracula. He's got his own motif. It's a Middle Eastern motif. Does he beat Dracula? No. But The Mummy, the character, it did live throughout the ages. This is a classic movie. And when you say The Mummy, this is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
He doesn't beat Dracula, but close.
Well, it's good. What's interesting about this, maybe, I kind of feel like it's unique among the Universal Monster horror canon because, one, it was actually one of the very first horror movies ever to actually be based on, like, an original screenplay or, like, an original story, because obviously Dracula, Frankenstein, shit like that, that was always, like, based on existing, like, an existing novel or, like, you know, Edgar Allan Poe stories or something like that. Like, they were always basing it on something. This one was actually kind of, like, written to be an original screenplay, and they kind of wanted to, I don't want to say cash in because that sounds kind of, you know, but they were kind of, like, trading on, you know, the opening of King Tut's tomb, like, back in the 1920s, which was, like, a huge deal because it was, like, a huge Egyptian thing. And so they wanted to kind of, like, cash in on that. But I think, like, out of all the Universal monster movies, this is the least, like, a monster movie.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a dude in a mummy costume.
I think a lot of people think
that's not what it's about.
It's not like that.
No.
Well, now, the sequels, which actually I shouldn't even call them sequels because they're not really anything to do with the original movie. This movie, even though it did have, quote-unquote, sequels, like The Mummy's Hand and Curse of the Mummy and all that other kind of stuff, like, later on, they didn't really have anything to do with this story or this particular mummy. This was actually kind of like a standalone. So I think when you think about, like, the shambling mummy with all the bandages and stuff, that's from one of the later mummy movies and not this one, because really Boris Karloff is only in, like, full mummy makeup for, like, a minute or two.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time he's in his Ardeth Bay kind of guise.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah, that's which cool. is really cool.
They do some good shots of him where he's using mental powers on people. He's an ancient Egyptian sorcerer. All right. Imhotep was his name.
That was a real Egyptian guy. I think he was like an architect.
I think there were several Imhoteps. So I think it was
Steve. But there was like a famous Steve the ancient Egyptian.
Yeah,
but
Steve.
But there was like a famous guy, the famous guy that was named Imhotep.
I think Karloff did a good job of giving a kind of a likable bad guy who's kind of suave and sophisticated. The West was always kind of intrigued with ancient Egypt, and they kind of bring that motif with you. Instead of, you know, instead of fucking Wallachia or Transylvania, you're dealing with Egypt. All right. Land of mystery. And he's a man of mystery, you know. He does a good job, you know. I didn't realize, you know, he was part Indian, you know. I didn't realize that Karloff was half Indian. I always thought he was just white, you know. But no, he does a good job as a Middle Eastern guy, too. So this is the Middle Eastern Dracula, basically.
Yeah.
It's good, though. It's real good. And he's got powers of a sorcerer. Got, you know, meditation pools that he can look into and
see. It's like a scrying pool.
Yeah, and he's rebuilt a damn ancient Egyptian shrine where he lives. And he's got thralls, which are dudes that he's kind of has, kind of like Renfields, you know?
Yeah.
And they're fucking Egyptian guys who've, you know.
They call him the Nubian.
The Nubian, big old Nubian Egyptian bodyguard who he sends out to go fucking do shit and everything. And it's kind of, he's kind of like bringing back old Egypt. It's good. It's a good flick. There's more there than Count Dracula. He's got a lot more speaking lines. The story is a little more complicated. He's not a monster in the same way that, say, a vampire is a monster. But, and that's kind of in the favor of this character. But I see why Dracula is far more popular, and vampires are a lot more popular. There's a different motif, a physical motif that you can say, yeah, that's what this Dracula is, a goth looking stuff. This doesn't quite have that. This is more kind of, you know, the sands of Egypt and time and a long time ago. That's the motif you're going to go with this. You know what I mean? Which for some reason, I guess, you know, Westerners are going to probably favor more that black gothic kind of look of Dracula, you know, with fucking capes and shit. It's more closer to their culture. But it's still a great movie, and the movie was remembered, you know. It's just not remembered as well as Count Dracula and Bela Lugosi's portrayal of Count Dracula.
Yeah, I mean, it did well at the box office. Like, it was pretty successful. Like, enough that they'd made other Mummy movies, even though they're not direct sequels. But it didn't do quite as well as Dracula and Frankenstein. Yeah. But I do kind of feel like I said, when people remember, like, the Mummy movies from the Universal Monsters era, they're remembering, like, the later Mummy movies. Because this one, really, and I'm going to say, like, Jack Pierce, the same guy that did the Frankenstein's Monster makeup on Boris Karloff, did the makeup for this, both the Mummy and the Ardeth Bay versions. And this might be a controversial statement, but I like this makeup better than the Frankenstein's Monster. It's as much as, like, the Frankenstein's Monster is, like, iconic and amazing, but there's something about this makeup that just really looks, and even if, like, you watch it now, and this movie is, like, so old, it's, like, from 1932, and this makeup looks incredible. Yeah. I mean, the Mummy makeup looks incredible.
Yeah, and then once he became demummified, there was still some mummification going on in his face.
Yeah, he looked like he was, like, made of, like, old paper. Yeah. Like, he looked like he was, he looked really old, and he looked, like, really creepy.
Yeah, but they didn't really make him look scary, which I liked that. They're trying to reinforce the idea that he's kind of a romantic character, a tragic romantic character.
Yeah, he is very tragic. He does bad shit, but
yeah, he's trying to get his wife back, you know, and that's why he got sentenced to be killed the way he was killed anyway. See, they didn't really embalm him the way they did. They mummified him alive.
Which, yeah.
And then
which they do show in the movie. Right. It's pretty horrific.
Yeah, and he was brought back through a spell that accidentally got reapplied on revived.
The Scroll of Thoth.
Yeah.
Yeah, by that.
So there's a lot of cool shit in this. The writing, okay, the story and the writing, I think, is better than the Frankenstein, the movie Frankenstein and the movie Dracula. There's more to this. It's a more of a sophisticated story. Technically, it's a better movie. Stylistically, I think it's very unique. It just didn't have the staying power of fucking
Yeah, well, I guess
Dracula and Frankenstein.
Maybe because it was like less a straight up horror movie right, and more. Yeah. I mean, it does have horror elements, obviously, because it's about like a scary mummy, but it has kind of like more of a dark romance.
Yes, it's a paranormal romance thriller
or paranormal kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what? I could be totally wrong about this, but you know how like the later iterations of Dracula, which maybe I think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I think started in the 70s, like maybe with the Jack Palance version, like when they started doing versions of Dracula where Mina was like a reincarnation of like his ex-wife, and then Francis Ford Coppola did it in his movie, because that wasn't in the book, like none of that stuff. I think that maybe they're drawing that idea from this, because this was kind of like the birth of that idea, where it's just kind of like, I'm not saying that the screenplay for this was the first time that had ever been done. It might have been done before, but I think that was the first time you saw it like in a big, like a mainstream horror type movie that, you know, he's trying to like resurrect his lost love kind of thing. And then I think that was picked up for, interestingly, Dracula adaptations later on, like that was kind of incorporated in that, because like I said, this screenplay was not based on anything. I think like the original concept, which, you know, this will make sense if you've seen the movie, the original concept was based on a real guy who was like an 18th century, I think, like an alchemist or something, and his name was Alessandro Cagliostro. And so the original screenplay was supposed to be kind of like about him, but he was going to be like this wizard or an alchemist or something like that, who had lived for 3,000 years because of like through magic or because of like some chemical or alchemical kind of procedure that he had done. But then they wanted to crossbreed that with the whole Curse of the Pharaoh, you know, Tutankhamun's tomb type of thing, which was kind of all the rage, like I said, because it was very, I mean, it had been 10 years prior. But they wanted to incorporate that whole ancient Egyptian theme as well. So they just crossbred those kind of things. Because the mummy in this one, I mean, when Boris Karloff comes out as, like, Ardeth Bey, he's very clearly a wizard. I mean, he can do... I said, he's got a scrying thing like in his house. Like, he can see what everybody's doing. He can cause heart attacks.
Yeah,
he can. Like, at a distance. Afar. Like, he's just doing shit like that and, like, squeezing people and they have a heart attack in their house.
He can access Bastet through cats.
Right.
As servants. Another real cool thing is that turns out that the Egyptian gods were real. Because they make an appearance. The Egyptian gods make an I thought that was real cool. They make... Well, their power makes an appearance through statues. Cool, fucking sexy Isis statues in the movie, all thick and everything. And all kinds of cool. You notice, it's like, what is that? Was that Bastet? Who is that? And then they showed it. It was a statue of Isis. But no, it turned out the Egyptian gods were real. It was ahead of its time, the movie. It's 30s. It's done in the 30s format. It's got, you know, that's the way they did things in the 30s. Where they shot things and the way dialogue was delivered and the acting and everything is all very 30s. But there's something kind of charming about that. Everything is cut and dried, black and white. Kind of, you know what kind of character it is you're dealing with. There isn't any damn deception in it. It's all kind of, it's just, no real surprises, too. Very rare. Well, actually, when it turns out the Egyptian gods were real, that was kind of a surprise, I guess.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So, I recommend it. It's a good movie. Good movie.
I do as well.
You gotta watch it right along with Dracula and Frankenstein. I see why, and the creature from the Black Lagoon. It's, you know,
which we gotta do that. Gotta see that one too, because I really like that movie.
I still haven't seen his Fu Manchu movie.
That's Mask really of Fu Manchu is what that's called. I looked it up.
It's supposed to be really good. He plays basically just damn evil Chinese alchemist warlord type dude. Which I want to see those. I think he only made one of them, didn't he?
That's all that I remember, but I could be wrong about that. That he only made one Fu Manchu movie. Like I said, they've made a million Fu Manchu movies.
I also recommend, really, to this day, the best one of these old ones that has Karloff in it is still, for me, gonna be Black Cat, where he plays Shalmar Perelzig, a fucking evil military officer who sacrificed his own men on a battlefield, and so he could consecrate evil ground to build his satanic palace. And that's got. And that I still think is his best character. It is, the Black Cat, Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, man. See that one too if you haven't seen it. Really good. All the bad shit happens into it. Necrophilia, stealing people's wives, fucking Satanism, human sacrifice, torture. Everything that wasn't supposed to be in an old movie was in it. Yeah, good movie.
Well, I mean, this one's pre-code too, and there's nothing like really controversial in this one, although I did laugh out loud at, because there's one scene... there's one scene that's between, because, you know, like I said, there's a whole reincarnation angle. So there's like actually a modern woman whose name is Helen, and she's half Egyptian. And it turns out that she's the reincarnation of, you know, the mummy or Ardith Bey's, you know, girlfriend who died like 3,700 years ago, whose name is Ankh-Esenamun.
Ankh-Esenamun is what her name is.
But yeah, so she's like the reincarnation. And so she starts to get, like, after Ardith Bey, like, does the, you know, Scroll of Thoth thing, like, trying to wake her mummy up.
Ardith Bey is fucking the mummy's code name. That's his new modern name, because he's portraying himself, he's undercover as a modern man. Okay. So if she says that word, if you haven't seen the movie, that's what she's talking about. Ardith Bey is the mummy.
Yeah.
And 10 years after he was revived from the grave, he's adopted a new identity.
Yeah, because obviously he can't walk around looking like a mummy.
That's not his name.
People are going to know him, Hotep.
You know what I mean? That's not who he is. So he calls himself Bey. Yeah.
Ardith Bey.
Ardith Bey.
Not Michael Bey.
Yeah.
That's a completely different name. But, but yeah, so he does this trying to wake his girlfriend, the mummy, up, and it actually awakens her, you know, reincarnated soul or whatever. And so she's like trying to get into the museum, and she doesn't really like know why and all this other kind of stuff. So she gets rescued by this dude, and like, who they kind of become like boyfriend girlfriend like immediately. But there's like one great line where he says something about you know, opening a tomb, and like he opening the, you know, wrappings off the mummy, like a female mummy that he had found, and he's like, oh, I almost kind of like fell in love with her a little bit. And she says to him, like Helen says to him, it's like, do something like, oh, do you often like have to open tombs to like find girls to fall in love with, or something
Do you always open graves to find girls to fall in love with?
Right.
Which is the soundbite from White Zombie song.
Right. Yeah, because it's like, yeah, I had forgotten about that.
You have to open graves to find girls.
But just like, yeah, but just like the fact that she said that to him, I was like, whoa. Yeah. I was like, she just accused him of necrophilia.
Yeah.
And he was just like totally fine with it. He's like, oh, you funny. And I was just like, well, that's kind of fucked up. All right. But yeah, so like I said,
he basically forces himself on her.
He does. I mean, I guess.
I love you, so you're coming with me.
Right.
I have decided.
I mean, I guess it's lucky that she's into it, but I don't know. She seemed a little. She didn't really seem to have a lot of choice in the matter.
They did that shit in the 30s and 40s a lot. The 20s and 30s.
It's like, well,
if the guy likes you, then you got
to
get married.
Then you have to. Yeah.
He chose you.
She doesn't really have any say in the matter. It's just kind of like. It's like, well, nobody asks.
Her facial expressions, though, were like, dude, you're a fucking trip. You're delusional.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it, that actress, actually, that plays Helen in this, I have her name, like, written down. Zita Johann, I think, is her name. She was primarily a stage actress, and she's gorgeous, actually, and she's gorgeous in this movie. Like, she's got a great face.
Looks like Betty Boop.
She does a bit. But, yeah, she was kind of like a theatrical actress, and apparently she had such a horrible time on this set, mainly because she really did not get along with the director, whose name was Carl Freund. Actually, Carl Freund, I think this was his first American film that he directed, although he had been the cinematographer on Dracula, and he was also the cinematographer on Metropolis, I think. And I think he helped in the directing, like, of Dracula as well. But, like, this was his first movie that he directed. But apparently, him and Zita Johann did not get along at all. And he apparently was, like spread all kind of rumors about her. And, like, I mean, I don't know if she was, like, super bitchy and hard to work with either. But he did, like, say a bunch of bad shit. But, like, he seemed to, like, do shit to, like, spite her. You know what I mean? Cutting some of her scenes and, like, making her do shit in the movie. And, like, more than other people. So much so that I think she, like, passed out at some point. And actually, she was so soured on the whole experience that she was only in, like, a handful more movies. And she's like, fuck this, I'm going back to the theater. It's, like, a lot nicer. So there's that, too.
At the end of the movie, they got her in a scanty fucking Egyptian priestess outfit, too. So they're trying to give you some eye candy at the end.
Yeah, I think
that nice figure.
I think that was one of the things that Carl Freund was like trying. He's like, I'm going to make you do the whole movie topless. And she was like, man, screw you, buddy.
Well, she runs around in basically long, real thin silk dresses. I guess it looks like silk or satin.
Yeah.
No bra. Just, you know, But they did that back then, you know, 30s.
Well, and she's like,
they couldn't show nudity, so they tried to skirt the...
And she's pretty thin, too, so it's not like she had, like, big old...
She's not like a B-cup, but it looked pretty... It was fucking kind of transparent, you know, you could see.
And
you can see her build, you know.
Can we talk about, like I said, the mummy makeup in this, because there's two makeups. But the hardcore mummy, like, with all the bandages and everything like that, looks amazing. And the thing about it is that even though Jack Pierce did Boris Karloff's, like, entire body like that, like, with all the bandages, and they said it took, like, 8 hours, like, to put on and, like, another 2 hours to take off. So they were basically just, like, going 24-7. Like, they hardly didn't get any sleep. And what they would have to do is they'd have to put... They said it was, like, layers. They would put layers on. They would blow-dry it. Like, they had, like... There were some stills of Boris Karloff, like, sitting under the big, like, industrial hairdryer or whatever. They'd blow-dry it, and then they'd put more on, and then they would blow-dry it again. So it was just, like... And they said that when he was in that mummy makeup, like, he couldn't talk. Like, his mouth was... completely closed, like he couldn't, you know, he was just like a crackling, like it was like a candy shell on the outside, and he could walk. And the weird thing is that they did all the bandages, but they never showed him in the movie walking in the whole thing. But the only scene where they show it, because there's the scene where the dumbass, you know, trainee archaeologist at the beginning, like, wakes him up by saying, ooh, I'm going to open this box I'm not supposed to open that has a curse on it, and, like, start reading this scroll of Thoth, even though it says not to. And then it wakes the mummy up. But then all they show is, like, the mummy's hand, which also looks amazing. Like, the hand looks really good. Like, coming in and being, like, zoop, and, like, taking the thing. But there's a still from that actually shows... Boris Karloff in the whole thing, like, standing there. I don't know why they didn't show it in the movie. Although, I kind of like that, though. Because then they just kind of show, like, the mummy leaves, and then there's just, like, a trailing bandages. Like,
there was a bunch of merchandise. Bunch of merchandise after the movie of Karloff in that outfit, fucking standing up. I mean, they made models, and they had, I think, posters and photographs, promotional shots of it, but you don't really see it in the movie. But
just from, like, here
on. Before we forget, though, I gotta say that Karloff fucking crushes it in this movie.
He's so great.
He fucking crushes it.
God, that's just that voice. Yeah. And it's like he's so, like, intimidating and, like, creepy, but also kind of sexy at the same time.
Yeah. 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 He's using all of his powers to try to respond to Lugosi's fucking Dracula. And. He holds his own.
I mean, I'm there for it.
I don't say it's impossible to beat fucking Lugosi's Dracula, but he matched it, you know. And it's remembered to this day. This movie, if you go see it, you know what I mean. When you see it, you see Karloff fucking apply his fucking trade. He crushes it in every fucking scene, and it's as good as Dracula.
Yeah, well, because, like I said, he's almost like, you kind of, even though he does bad shit, like, he gives a lot of, like, people heart attacks, because basically he's just trying to wake up his girlfriend, right? You know, and he's going to have to, like, you know, spoiler alert, he's going to have to, like, kill Helen to do it, because he wants her to be reincarnated in her own body, so they can, like, be living mummies or whatever together. It's, like I said, it's very complicated. So he wants to do bad things, but... He kind of, like, 3,700 years ago, he kind of got fucked over, too. Because, like, his girlfriend got killed, and then he was trying to, like, resurrect her, like, wake her back up. And everybody thought that was, sacrilegious.
Yeah.
And so then they punished him by, mummifying him alive.
Yeah.
And, like, scraping off, like, all the names and, like, all the good spells, like, from the inside.
Yeah, they did their homework. When a dude was buried in disgrace, didn't matter what his rank was, they removed all the fucking rank from him. His little fucking beard things off of the damn sarcophagus and all the protection spells and all symbols of rank were taken. It's like what they did to fucking Akhenaten.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they totally took every symbol of his rank was taken. He was a pharaoh.
Because that's supposed to fuck you over in the next life as well. Because that's like the supreme punishment. And they did, like, they did do that in this.
So they did
movie.
The homework, and the portrayal of ancient Egypt was pretty good in this, the costumes and everything. There was some funny shit with the Arabs that they were working in there, you know what I mean? I swear to God, they were talking some... the white guys were fucking yelling out in fucking fake Arabic.
I was like, yeah, I don't. I'm like, I'm not entirely sure if that's real Arabic.
And I swear to God, the white dude yelled out, "Double up on the hashish." I swear to God, he said.
Kind of sound
like that. Sounded
like
he said, "Double up on the hashish."
He's like, that's the only Arabic word I know.
Yeah, and the average audience member wouldn't have known what hashish was, and he said it in a certain way. It was hard to understand what he said. Double up on the hashish. It'd have been a hilarious inside joke, you know.
I kind of hope that is what he said. That is kind of what it sounded like, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's fucking funny.
That would be kind of funny if they put that in there. Just like as a little Easter egg, instead of everybody watching it being, I see what you did
there. It was either double back on the hashish or double up on the hashish, something like that.
It did definitely sound like something like that.
Yeah.
Because we were kind of like laughing about, I don't know. Like I said, I don't speak Arabic, so I don't really know, but it could have been, and I know that, you know, Hollywood in the 30s particularly was kind of notorious for
making up fake languages
or not, because they're like, you know, what are they going to do? Like hire somebody on there that's like a, you know,
they got to get the shit shot now.
They got to get the shot to, so they're not going to like bring in a dialogue coach and like have like train all the actors to like speak. And a lot of them were probably white people, I have to say. I think was the Nubian a white dude
in blackface?
I'm pretty sure that dude was like a white guy.
It was a white guy.
It looked like a white
guy. Well, they wanted somebody who was like a big bodybuilder, and that's evidently who they had. Although, you know, a Nubian kind of like an Ethiopian, and Ethiopians have pretty Caucasoid-looking features, you know, and they're dark-skinned, but, you know, they kind of have a lot of...
I'm pretty sure that was a white dude.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a white dude.
I mean, I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that was a white dude. But, yeah, so, I mean, if you like Dracula, you probably like this. Well, the story is, it's different, but it's similar, you know what I mean? Like, he has, like, similar powers to Dracula, like he can kind of kill people from a distance, and he seems to be able to kind of like hypnotize people,
mind control
and stuff like that.
Thralls.
And so he can do like similar shit to Dracula.
He can do better shit. He had television.
That's right.
Because he had this fucking pool.
HD.
Yeah, it's like HD. He had this pool, and then fucking all the dry ice would go down in there. It was in the middle of his room. He had a fucking laid out pad, too. Brought his girlfriend over, looking at his fucking pad. She goes, this is like ancient Egypt. Let me show you something that you've forgotten. And fucking he started showing her that in that pool. And it was good effects.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually.
Swirling fucking dry ice smoke, and then boom, and he shows her the past. It was pretty cool. It's like television. Quantum television.
Yeah.
Show you the past.
Boris Karloff had an ancient Egypt TV in his living room.
Yeah.
it was pretty cool. Like I said, it's very similar in story to Dracula, but not as overtly horror, like with maybe like a more sympathetic villain, I guess. Even though, you know, like I said, he's not entirely a villain because he did get fucked over, but he does do bad shit. But, I mean, I really, really liked... I really liked that Karloff got a role like this because even though, I mean, he's great as Frankenstein's monster, obviously, but he didn't really have any lines or anything. So this is actually like a real character that he can like kind of chew on. And like you said, he just fucking kills it in this movie. He's fucking great.
Crushes it.
The makeup is amazing. Yeah. I love the mummy makeup. I love the mummy makeup and I love the Ardeth Bay look as well. I think that also looks really, really cool.
Yeah, when he becomes Bay, you know, sometimes he'll look at some dude and they'll zoom in on his face and his eyes will start glowing and it's a good effect.
Yeah, it's cool looking.
You can slightly see the kind of damn papery looking skin that he's got.
Yeah,
I think it's
look
a
like...
still, I think. But it looked cool.
Cool. I mean, that's an iconic image, really, like where he's just like looking all creepy like that, because he's just had such a great fucking face, like particularly a great face for horror.
If you're a fan of fucking the old Dracula, you need to see this. This is Karloff's response to Dracula, and I think he matched it.
I think he did as well.
There's a lot more character there. You know, it's got a lot more lines. He's in it a lot more than Dracula's in. You know, than Karloff is in Dracula. A lot of the Dracula movies was just all the other guys trying to catch him. You know?
Right.
They have that in here, but this one focuses more on fucking Imhotep himself.
Yeah, like his plan.
He's in it a lot. Yeah. You know, so it's a good movie.
Because he's in a different guise, they don't actually realize that he's the mummy at first. Mm-hmm. Like, they just think he's this guy who's helping them out, like, finding this tomb and everything like that. So they just think he's a regular guy.
I'd watch it again.
Yeah, I would as well. I'd be curious to see the other ones. I kind of feel like, you know, the Brendan Fraser mummy movies that they made in the 90s that we talked about? those aren't really remakes of this, but the story is kind of similar. Like, the Tom Cruise one, just that doesn't have anything to do with this one, really. I think it maybe that had the reincarnation. I don't even remember that, like, movie all that well. But I think, like, the Brendan Fraser ones were closer. But like I said, don't go into this, like, thinking that it's going to be, like, a horror movie. It has horror elements. Like, people get killed, and, like, there's some creepy shit in it. But it's mostly, like, a romance thriller type of thing.
I'd say thriller with a romantic,
right,
tragic romance.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah. Like, more than overtly horror, I think.
Right. You're kind of sympathetic to fucking Imhotep.
Yeah. Because he did a, you know.
What he did was wrong. He shouldn't have messed with that reincarnation spell or that resurrection spell back 3,000 years ago.
But that was his girlfriend. Come on.
But he loved her. He was trying to bring her back. Cops busted him.
Yeah, he got busted.
And then they fucking killed him. And, well, they didn't kill him. They mummified him alive.
Which is fucked up, you guys. Come on.
Hard as fucking shit.
So mean.
Then he accidentally gets revived by his magic. Comes back and tries to save the girl. So in a way, he's a tragic hero.
Yeah.
Even though the girl, his wife is incarnate in this woman. This young woman.
Yeah, modern woman, yeah.
Yeah. She knows who she was, kind of. She kind of remembers who she used to be. But in this transferal ritual, he has to kill her.
Yeah.
All right. And he's like, I was spent thousands of years in the grave for you. And you can't take just a few minutes of pain. And he was going to fucking stab her.
He was going to guilt her into that
shit.
Yeah,
and get her out of that and put her into a new body. What, it was a new body or the old body?
I think he wanted to put her into the old body.
The old body, which it was mummified. He had it. So he's going to put her into the old body and she'd come out and be like him.
Yeah.
Which I guess he might have been immortal.
I mean, like, for all intents and purposes, he was a wizard, and I guess because the Scroll of Thoth, like, woke him up.
And his body had come from a mummified corpse.
So I guess he's just, like, he's just gonna hang out forever now.
Like a Dracula, or like a vampire.
Yeah, a Dracula.
Like a Dracula. I don't think he was alive, per se. He was magically alive. So he was trying to do that to her. I believe.
Yeah, that's kind of what that's what I got. That's why he had to kill her to pop her soul
in
out
the original body,
and then
they would be immortal in those fucking preserved
bodies.
Yeah,
they'd be like together because I think he even used the term like living mummy, did he not? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think he said
that
in the movie that they have to be like a living.
So,
you have to be like I am. You know what I mean?
You're right. So it is a retelling of Dracula, basically. They're immortals,
right?
Yeah.
But like I said, the whole reincarnation angle that came up from Dracula, that actually didn't come out until, I don't think until the 70s.
They copied it from this, I bet.
So maybe they did. Maybe they did.
You're right.
Because this one, like I said, wasn't really based on... It was kind of an amalgamation of a lot of different things. Like I said, there was a Sir Arthur Conan Doyle story that was kind of like the Ring of Thoth or something like that. They kind of used a little bit of that, and they kind of used the whole mummy's curse thing. Although they don't really do a lot with the curse, do they? Because, at the beginning... They talk about, the curse that has the Scroll of Thoth in it, and it's, a big deal. But the curse doesn't really play that much into the events that happen later on. I mean, unless you can count, Ardeth Bay, squeezing people's hearts and killing them.
The more we talk about it, the more I think about it, the more I respect the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see it again.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it again. It's a good story.
It's a good flick.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I really like it.
The more I'm remembering and talking about it, the more I'm thinking about it, Yeah, it was good. That was a good one.
Yeah,
it's basically a retelling of Dracula, but it's different enough to make it unique.
Yeah, its own thing.
It's its own thing.
Yeah,
but it's good.
And Boris Karloff is always
good. Karloff crushes it through the whole fucking thing.
I love
thing.
Him and everything.
Yeah,
but yeah. So if you haven't seen it, it's on Tubi for free at the moment. At least in the United States. I don't know if you can watch Tubi in other countries. But actually, they have a shit ton of old Universal Monster movies on there. They got the original Creature from the Black Lagoon, too, which is another one that I want to talk about one of these days because I really like that movie, too. But yeah, so go watch it if you haven't seen it. And that will do it for this latest movie retrospective. We'll see you guys again on the next one. Bye.